Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing. Lord, cover me and renew in me the right spirit. Till that secret, sacred place of you. Make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be renewed. You kept me here and you'll see me through. Pray for me. Late nights coming in, I find her asleep on her knees. All grown up now, I understand why she prays so much. Incline your ear, I need your touch.
Good morning. This is Amazing Grace Ministries Radio, and we're May 8th, 2020, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers. We honor Dr. Reverend Maria Carey, who is the president and CEO of the Amazing Grace Ministries. We have a spirit-filled lesson on today, so we're going to get started. Announcements. Amazing Grace Ministry School of Ministry classes, the Old Testament Survey Part 1, that's Genesis through Nehemiah, has started, and there is still time to register. Register with Dr. Carey. Please email her at amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. That's capital AmazinggraceMinistries. @gmail.com for your enrollment forms. In addition, if you need more information, please contact Dr. Maria Carey, 309-750-7584. Please consider donating to Amazing Grace Ministries, Inc. You can send a donation to P.O. Box 43-8411, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. And to those that have sent in a donation, we thank you for undergirding this ministry. To everyone listening in Radio Land, I decree blessings unto you. If you are blessed by this talk show, I need you to express it via text, email, or comment on the lesson page. Text Dr. Carey at 309-750-7584. Or email her at amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. That's Amazing Grace Ministries @gmail.com. We're on the air every Saturday at 9 a.m. We have an exciting lesson today. So tune in. The link is http://tobtr.com/f/11940354. Prepare to hear a word that will captivate your mind. It will change your life. Christ has come that we might have life and have life more abundantly. Time is moving on in 2021. Don't get left behind. God is saying we are breaking out and rebuilding the destitute places. The theme for May 2021 is accessing the Holy of Holies, entering into the presence of the Lord. The lesson for this second Saturday of May is the rest and reunion with Christ as we enter the season of release. Amen. Zechariah 14, 16 through 19, and this is the King James Version. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which come against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not that have no rain, there shall be the plague. The Lord will smite the heathens that come not up to the keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. When we say rest, the English language learner's definition of rest is to stop doing work or activity, to spend time relaxing, sleeping, or doing nothing after you have been active or doing work, to give rest to someone, to stop using something so that it can become strong again. An example is to rest in God to become strong. When you say renew, renew is defined as to make new, reawake, reestablish, or to start over. An example of renew is to bring a crumbling garden wall back to life. Reunion is defined as the act of or process of coming together again, the state of condition of having been brought together again, and a gathering of relatives, friends, or former associates. Let's get into the lesson. There are no festivals commanded or recommended for the church. Most Christians recognize these three ordinances: communion, sometimes called the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper, baptismal, and foot washing. But since the churches have been shut down due to corona, and more services are taking place on social media platforms as Zoom, Facebook, and YouTube, some of the ordinances have been put on hold. While others take places in the home of members on social media like communion, communion was initiated by Christ at his last Passover meal with the 12 disciples. But the communion of the church is not a continuation of Passover. Passover ended with Christ. What Jesus inaugurated was a meal where there was eating of bread and drinking of wine, which remembered his body and blood. Paul wrote, in the same way he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." That's 1 Corinthians 11:25-26. On last week, we talked about substitutionary sacrifices by Christ. Hebrews 9:6-12, and this is a New Living Translation. When these things were all in place, the priests regularly entered the room as they performed their religious duties. But only the high priest entered the most holy place, and only once a year. And he always offered blood for his own sins and for the sins of the people had committed in ignorance. By these regulations, the Holy Spirit revealed that the entrance to the most holy places was not freely open as long as the tabernacle and the system it represented was still in use. This is an illustration pointing to the present time. For the gifts and sacrifices that the priests offer are not able to cleanse the conscience of the people who bring them. for that old system deals only with food and drink and various cleansing ceremonies. Physical regulations that were in effect only until a better system could be established. Christ is the perfect sacrifice. So Christ has now become the high priest over all the good, entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. The tabernacle built by Moses and the people of Israel represents the new covenant. Each part of the tabernacle represents something different. The examples given was the veil separating the holy places from the most holy places, representing the body of Jesus. Through Jesus, you get to God, which is the most holy place. The part of the tabernacle and its pieces of furniture was a picture of Jesus Christ and his plan for the redemption of sinners. There were three veils that separated sinful men from a holy God. The first veil was the eastern gate, which opened into the courtyard. Those who came to the sacrifice could pass through this veil or gate. That's Exodus 40 and 33. Exodus 43 says, then he hung the curtain forming the courtyard around the tabernacle, and he set up the curtain at the entrance of the courtyard. So at last, Moses finished the work. The furniture of the tabernacle was the substitutionary sacrifice for the picture of Christ. The tabernacle and its furnishings are described in Exodus 25, 1 through 40, and Exodus 37, 1 through 28. The bronze altar was designed for animal sacrifices, and the labor was for washing. They were located in the outer courts, in Exodus 40, 6, and 7. Place the altar of burnt offering in front of the tabernacle entrance. Set the wash basin between the tabernacle and the altar and fill it with water. The courtyard surrounded the tabernacle, and that's Exodus 40 and 8. Then set up the courtyard around the outside of the tent and hang the curtain for the courtyard entrance. The gold lampstand, the table of showbread, and the gold altar of incense was located inside the holy place. The lampstand was on the south side, and the table of showbread was on the north side, leading into the Holy of Holies, where the ark and the mercy seat stood. That's Exodus 40 and 5, 21, 22 through 24, and then 26. Exodus 40 and 5 says, place the gold incense altar in front of the Ark of the Covenant, then hang the curtain at the entrance of the tabernacle, 40 and 21. Then he brought the Ark of the Covenant into the tabernacle and hung the inner curtain to shield it from view, just as the Lord had commanded him. Exodus 40, 22 through 24. Next, Moses placed the table in the tabernacle along the north side of the holy place, just outside the inner curtain. And he arranged the bread of the presence on the table before the Lord, just as the Lord had commanded him. He set the lampstand in the tabernacle across from the table on the south side of the holy place. Exodus 40 and 26, he also placed the gold incense altar in the tabernacle in the holy place in front of the inner curtain. The pictures of salvation. The tabernacle is a wonderful picture of Jesus' yard, including the altar, laver, and the post that held the linen fence were made of bronze, but the only metal inside the tabernacle was gold. The bronze symbolized sin, and the gold symbolizes God. The bronze altar. The bronze altar was the place of sacrifice. Bronze speak of sin and the perpetual fire. Leviticus 1, 5 through 7. Then slaughter the young bulls in the Lord's presence, and Aaron's son, the priest, will present the animal's blood by splattering it against all sides of the altar that stands at the entrance to the tabernacle. Then the skin the animals and cut it into pieces. The son of Aaron, the priest, will build a fire on the altar. The bronze altar symbolizes God's judgment against sin. Jesus died on the altar. It was called the cross. He died for our sins on that cross. He suffered pain for our sins. The bronze laver. The bronze laver was filled with water, and its base was made from the women's mirror of highly polished bronze. That's Exodus 38 and 8. This is a great picture of a person who trusts Jesus for the forgiveness of sin. The laver symbolizes our cleansing from sin, our holiness. Once we are forgiven of our sins, God starts changing us to make us truly holy as he is holy. Philippians 12:13 says, shine brightly for Christ. Dear friends, you always follow my instructions, which I was with you. And now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. 13, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases him. 1 Peter 1:16 says, for the scripture says, you must be holy because I am holy. Now, water is a symbolic of two concepts in scripture. The Holy Spirit who comes into our lives convicts us of sin, John 16:8, and starts living in us to change us, John 7:37-39. And the word of God, which reveals to us our sin, John 15:3, and is useful for reproof, conviction, and instructions in righteousness, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. While the mirror at the bottom reminds us that we will still see our true sinful selves, Romans 7:24, it is also comforting because the symbolism reminds us that God knows we are not yet perfect in this life. The golden lampstand. The lampstand, table of showbread, and the altar of incense are all made of gold. While bronze symbolizes sin, gold speaks of deity. The holy places is alive with symbolism about Jesus. The gold lampstand speaks of the one who revealed the Father to us, Jesus, the light giver, Matthew 11:27. Matthew 11:27 says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomever the Son will reveal him. He is the light of men. The light was to burn perpetually. Today, Jesus is not here in body, but his word is. By reading and studying it, we receive spiritual life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, John 1:4. He was not the light, but came that he might bear witness of the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man, John 1:8-9. Again, therefore, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. This is the NASB version. This is John 8:12. Table of showbread. The table of showbread was made of acacia wood, A-C-A-C-I-A, and overlaid with gold. The wood speaks of Jesus' humanity and the gold of his deity. Jesus, the God-man. The bread that was placed on the table represents God's presence in our lives. And you shall set the bread of the presence on the table before me at all times. That's Exodus 25:30. Table, or called the bread, consecrated bread. But did you notice it is called the bread of presence? The actual Hebrew wording is the bread of the face. It symbolizes Jesus' presence, his life. We live because he lives. And Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh, John 6:51. The table with the bread symbolizes spiritual life in Jesus. The altar of incense. The gold altar of incense represented the intercession and the memorial of Jesus. While the gold lampstand was to burn perpetually, the bread of the presence was to be replaced every Sabbath. The incense was to be burned every morning and every evening. Blood was applied to this altar on the Day of Atonement. Jesus is our mediator, according to 1 Timothy and Hebrews. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:5. That's the NASB version. The veil. The second veil, the one separating the holy place from the holy of holies, represents the of Jesus' body. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our body washed with pure water. That's it. The New King James Version, Hebrews 10:19-22. Jesus' flesh was torn and cut just like the veil was torn from the top to the bottom. Matthew 27:51. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart. It is because of his death that we can come boldly to God, the ark and the mercy seat. The ark with the mercy seat is where God meets with men. It represents our meeting place in this life and the place of our eternal salvation. The Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement is that was celebrated in Leviticus 23:26-32. Then the Lord said to Moses, be careful to celebrate the Day of Atonement on the 10th day of that same month, 9 days after the Festival of Trumpets. You must observe it is an official day for holy assembly, a day to deny yourself and present special gifts to the Lord. Do not work during that entire day because it is the Day of Atonement, when offerings of purifications are made for you, making you right with the Lord your God. All who do not deny themselves that day will be cut off from God's people, and I will destroy anyone among you who does any work on that day. You must not do any work at all. This is a permanent law for you, and it must be observed from generation to generation wherever you live. This will be a Sabbath day of complete rest for you. And on the day you must deny yourselves, the day of rest will begin at sundown on the 9th day of the month and extend until sundown on the 10th day. The details of the festival was discussed in Leviticus chapter 16. It was to occur on the 10th of the month. The emphasis in Leviticus chapter 23 is on how an ordinary Israelite was to observe the day. On the 10th day of the month, they were to bring a burnt offering and keep the day as a complete Sabbath rest. Grabbing this day was instructions or severe warning about keeping or three violating the day as a Sabbath rest. The Bible in Leviticus 17:14 states that the blood is a symbol of life. Thank God we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Leviticus 17:14, this is the English Standard Version, for the life of every creature is its blood. Its blood is its life. Therefore, I have said to the people of Israel, you should not eat the blood of any creature, for the life of every creature is its blood. Whoever eats it shall be cut off. There was a blood sacrifice every year on the Day of Atonement. The high priest would enter the Holy of Holies to offer a blood sacrifice to atone for the sin of the people. Now, the Holy of Holies was the innermost chamber in the wilderness tabernacle, a room for sacred. Only one person could enter, and then only one day out of the entire year. This room was a perfect cubit 15 feet in each direction. Only one object was housed there, the Ark of the Covenant. There was no light inside the chamber, only that glow from God's glory. An embroidered veil that was so thick separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies inside the Tent of Meetings. Now get this. Only regular priests were allowed in the outer holy place, but the Holy of Holies was only accessed by the high priest on the annual Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur. The high priest on that day would bathe and then put on clean linen garment of the priest. On his robe were hanging solid gold bells around the hem. The noise of the bells told the people that the high priest was making atonement for their sins. The high priest then entered the inner sanctuary with a censer of burning incense that produced thick smoke to hide the mercy seat where God was. For to look or to see God, the high priest would die instantly. The high priest would sprinkle the blood of a sacrificed bull and a sacrificed goat on the atonement cover of the ark to make amendment for the sins of the people. The life of the animal was poured out and given on behalf of the people. At Mount Sinai, God cut a covenant with his people through Moses. Moses took the blood of an ox and sprinkled half of it on the altar and the other half on the people of Israel. Exodus 24:6-7. The blood signifies the supreme offering to God because it's relationship to life. The holiness of God demands justice for the sin with punishment. Therefore, the penalty or payment for sin is eternal death. So offering an animal and even our own death is not sufficient sacrifice to pay for sin, which means atonement requires a perfect, spotless sacrifice and offered correctly. The only person up for the job was Jesus Christ, the one perfect God-man, came to offer the pure, complete, and everlasting sacrifice to make payment for our sins. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 8 through 10, totally explains how Christ became the eternal high priest, entering the Holy of Holies, heaven, but not with the blood of sacrificial animals, but by his own precious blood on the cross. Christ poured out his life in the ultimate atonement sacrifices for our sins and that of the world. Therefore, in the New Testament, the blood of Jesus Christ is the foundation for God's new covenant of grace. So get this picture. At the Last Supper, Jesus said to his disciples, we can now approach God confidently, not on our own merit, but through the righteousness credited to us given by the shed blood of Christ. Jesus atoned once and for all for humanity's sin, and at the same time became our high priest, acting on our behalf before his Father. We can now approach God confidently, not on our own merit, but through the righteousness credited to us given by the shed blood of Christ. Jesus atoned once and for all for humanity's sin, and at the same time became our high priest, acting on our behalf before his Father. Hebrews 3:1, and this is the New Living Translation, says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, we belong to God and are partners with those called to heaven. Think carefully about this Jesus whom we declare to be God's messenger and high priest. Therefore, we can rest in Christ and continuously renew our reunion with Christ as we enter back into our churches. Let us pray. Lord God, we honor you. We adore you. We praise your holy name. Jesus, we magnify you. You are God, and you are God all by yourself. You are the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Prince of peace, the everlasting Father. You are majestic, and you are sovereign in all your ways. We open our mouth, and we speak well of you on this morning. We say that you are holy. We say that you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. God, you are all right with us. We open our mouth to give you glory. We open our mouth to magnify you. You are the God that heals. You are the God that delivers. You are the God above all other gods. You are a God that provides for your people. We praise you in advance that we are going to be better. We praise you in advance that someone is going to be delivered. We praise you in advance that someone is going to be set free for your glory, God. Now, God, in Jesus' name, before we ask you anything, we thank you for everything. Then, God, forgive us. Forgive us for our shortcomings. Forgive us for our sins that we have committed knowingly and unknowingly. Thank you for meeting the needs of your people, God. You keep on doing great things for us. You woke us up this morning, and we are grateful that we woke up, God, with our minds towards heaven, looking to the author and finisher of our faith. Thank you for life, God. Now, God, go before us and do for us what only you can do. Keep us in the center of your will. Go before us and make the crooked places straight. God, look on your people everywhere. Look on Dr. Carrie, God. Lord, bless her endeavors. And then, Lord God, look on the listeners one by one, name by name. You are still in control. And we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your presence that is still in the room right now. Touch, God. Touch, touch, touch. Oh, God, touch, God. Oh, how we love you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for being Jehovah Jireh because you are our provider. We thank you for your word that you have given us on today, God. Thank you for the rest and reunion with Christ as we enter the season of relief. Cover us, Lord, and set us free from any trap that the enemy has set up against us. In Jesus' name. Now, God, be with us. Look on the sick and recovering, Lord God. Look on all the mothers, God. Look on those that are celebrating their birthday on today and this week, Lord God. Look on Mother Smith. Look on Naomi, God, and any others that may be celebrating this week. Be in everything that we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio, where Reverend Dr. Maria Carey is the CEO and the host. And on today, Evangelist Terry Rogers was your co-host. Tune in next week, same time, or go to the link and just click on the link. Dr. Carrie will return next week. Be blessed and enjoy the remaining of your day. And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, the auntie mothers, the godmothers.